Is it working?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Somebody's echoing.
Is it me?
I think you're echoing.
I don't know why that would be.
Jack, for future references, do you mind changing your name?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I just wanted to put that one in. It said, give me a name. I know, I'm going to change it, yeah. I swear.
Okay, it won't pop up on the name, so just don't say it out loud, but I don't think that we really want that name on there.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to think of something else creative.
Good. So what's the conversation for today?
I reckon that we should all talk about this channel, what we want to get out of it, what we think the aims of it are. Mm-hmm. and the kind of topics we might discuss, so, and what we might say about them, because there's a whole range, and I can read off just a couple of the most controversial topics that we've got on the Discord server, because we collated quite a few of them together. I'll go for, right, so I'm a liberal, I'm Gizmo, I'm from the United Kingdom, as you can probably tell from my accent. I believe strongly in free speech. And I think the line can only be drawn at when there is direct incitement to violence, or there is direct incitement to harassment or discrimination. And it can get a bit grey area, but I think free speech is the cornerstone of free society. I, as a liberal, am concerned about the way the left tries to suppress the views of the right. And even though I find some of the views of particularly the extreme right, very difficult to listen to at times. I find, you know, they're great on me and I disagree with them. I still think that people should be allowed to express what they think. And it is unhealthy to try and suppress people's viewpoints. All this deplatforming, I hate that sort of stuff. I believe that if a person thinks that their table can fly, they should be absolutely free to try and convince everyone in the world that their table is capable of flying. And that's just my view on it. I think that's what, to me, free speech means. I think it is so important. And I think there's a lot of topics that we see as taboo, where we're not really discussing the true facts, where the media will hide certain data and certain facts that are, you know, clearly evident to anyone who looks at them. And then where are people going to learn these things? They're going to the extreme right. We're telling them things about what's going on. I think, although I lean to the left and I see myself as a liberal, I see myself as, you know, a little bit of a socialist when it comes to welfare policy. I really dislike this sort of groupthink ideology of extreme left wing, where, you know, we can't talk openly about things and you have to accept a political line. I strongly dislike that. And I want this to be a free speech platform. I don't want it to be all about right wing. I want to be a range of opinions. That's just for me. I want to even have communists on here to rationally argue their opinion. I don't want people coming on here and shouting, you know, just racial swear words. If they use racial swear words, you know, we can just give them a warning or something. Yeah, I think we would have to do that for legal reasons. But,
yes.
But it doesn't particularly bother me as such, as long as it is not bothering, you know, our interviewees and the people who are here. So like I said, I don't want people shouting other people down. I'm looking for rational, calm discussion of true facts that we're missing in the mainstream media. And that's how I see this channel. And I'll turn over to someone else now.
Yes. Thank you. And, you know, just going back onto your point, you know, we aren't going to be here to yell. You know, we're sitting down, we're talking, you know, this is a good way to get things done, you know, instead of how most people do it nowadays. You know, you just got people running and destroying things. It's quite hectic. So, you know, you don't get a lot of times where people are rational and, you know, you just sit down. So I'm glad we can have something like this to, you know, clear things up and educate people, if you will.
Yeah, certainly. There's too many people who are divided and shouting at each other and they're not hearing each other.
Yes, no one listens because you make many fair points about, you know, healthcare systems. You know, I get your socialist thing and freedom of speech. You know, of course, you know, that's a given. And, you know, these are things that need to be talked about because, you know, you think, you know, you got someone on far left and far right, even though they do have different beliefs, you know, they're not so different, you know, there's still similarities.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I believe. I believe if they sit down and listen to each other, I mean, my mind has been blown by Amigo. I've met black people who believe that segregation is the only possibility at this stage. Now, I don't believe that myself. I think black and white and Asian and everyone can get along. However, I would say that if in the future people choose to self-segregate, that they should be free to do so.
Exactly. If they feel
that is the only option that we, you know, the racists cannot get along.
Gizmo, what do you mean by self-segregate?
What I mean is, for instance, I met a black guy who said he was moving back to Haiti. And I asked him, why do you feel like you've been pushed out of the States, that there's too much racism, that they were discriminatory towards you? He said, no, I never experienced anything like that in my life. I just think that I've come to believe, and he said from talking to white supremacists, he believes that the races can no longer get along. I think his opinion is probably quite niche. However, I've met several people like that now.
I love what you just said. That is perfect, to just exactly what we want. You see, the far right, you know, when it comes to segregation, you know, you think of the 50s and 60s, the whole black and white, everyone's segregated. But what we're looking for more these days is, you know, everyone has their own place in this world. You know, Africans have Africa, whites have Europe. Now, America, that is maybe a disputed topic, given that it's a lot of, you know, immigrants that came here in the first place. You know, heck, yeah. I'd love to give a population that was first here, but everyone has their place in this world. And, you know, there's a balance that you need, you know, coexistence that, I don't know, it just, it makes things go round.
Jack, let me interrupt you here quick. What Jack is saying here, not all of us agree with this standpoint.
Of course.
I feel like everybody has a place everywhere in the world, and that should not be segregated at all. I disagree with Jack on that, but I kindly disagree with him. Jack,
what I'm referring to is I don't think there should be any enforced segregation. I think that's sick. You know, I think that's
everyone should just have the option to kind of go where they think that their home is.
That idea. Even as a liberal, I think that if somebody feels that the races cannot get along, and if in future this is shown to be the case, I really hope not. I don't feel like it will, but if this were shown to be the case, then I would be supportive of people who felt like they were Asian and they wanted to move back to a majority, you know, to the Indian subcontinent, if they were Bangladeshi or Pakistani. Now, I do not feel those people should be compelled or made to feel uncomfortable in their country. But what this person was telling me was nobody made him feel uncomfortable. Even that he spoke to neo-Nazis. And from his perspective, he felt like they convinced him that, and he came to his own conclusion that he felt he would be better off returning to Haiti and working in agriculture and helping his black people, as he put it. And he said he was cool with white people, he loved white people, he had white friends. He was not racist in his beliefs. He just felt like there was too much tension for the races to live together. I thought that was very interesting. I've not heard that opinion from a black person before.
It's not something you see very often, Gizmo, but it's a beautiful sight when it does come around.
I disagree with that, but
when people come to realizations that, you know, hey, like, you know, I could go back to my home, or, you know, I don't know what this guy's story, it's inspiring, you know.
Well, I sort of find it the opposite. I sort of like, I respect your opinion there, and I'm not trying to, you know, go against that, but I sort of personally find it the opposite. I find that sort of almost shameful, if I can use that word, that he would feel that this was the best thing for him to do, to self-segregate, to move back to a majority black nation. you know, the races should get along and be able to live together. And I think the majority do. I think maybe this is quite a niche sort of thing, but I understand where you're coming from, that this is something that you'd sort of like to see, that you'd like to see less mixing. And, you know, I'm interested to hear more about that and why you feel that is the case. So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah. So I disagree with you. However, I'd be interested to hear more about why you feel that is the case. And I'm probably kind of with Axel on this one. I think kind of, yeah.
Of course. So I guess my perspective here is, you know, yeah, of course, there's always going to be good people out there. You know, there always is. It doesn't matter what they are. You know, they could be good, they could be bad. But when you take, you know, something like Black Americans and you take the majority of them and, you know, you look at them and you say, yeah, most of these guys are bad people. Now, of course, some of them are going to be good. And, you know, there's a good amount of them still out of the population. But, you know, the majority reflects on the minority. And it just... it gets the pot boiling, you know, it stirs things up. People aren't happy, you know.
Is it the majority though? I know you're hinting at the black crime statistics there.
Yeah. No. Yes. Yeah, so what is it? 13% of the of the population, and yet they commit half the crimes. You know, that's what I'm going towards here.
And absolutely. I think that's something.
Why do you think that is, Jack?
You know, I'm really not sure. Is it because, you know, I really don't know. I don't know. I'd love to know why.
I think it has to tie in a lot with systemic racism in their culture.
That would,
yeah.
Explain on that. Dive into that a little bit, please.
So we can go into systemic racism. I'd like to ask you, Jack.
Well,
differences in things like testosterone levels and things like IQ, you know, the level of IQ, and that there is a link between IQ and crime, whereby when people with lower IQs tend to commit crime, particularly violent crime, at a higher rate. And I wonder if that is something that you're hesitating to say or to bring up.
So are you saying kind of like because the black population is, you know, on the lower end of the scale, that they would just always be more inclined to, you know, be criminals? Is that kind of where we're going here?
I don't know
if I'm in the ballpark.
I mean, I don't believe that. I'm wondering if you believe that. So what I think is that it is more a case of systemic racism and oppression, because we don't see that trend replicated all around the world. We see it in Europe and North America. Also, when we're talking about IQ gap, that gap is closing at quite a rate. And I believe that's called the Flynn effect. There is a difference. I think that within the black population, there is a high level of testosterone, and this reflects in young men. So it tends to be the case that as black men get older, that their testosterone declines to a level that is lower than the average in white men, and that white men in their 40s and 50s have a higher average level of testosterone. However, in teenage and the early 20s, black people have a higher level of testosterone. Some have posited the theory that this could cause more aggressive behavior.
I forgot to put the disclaimers in this video. I will when we're. Oh,
And I'm the liberal here, and I seem to be saying the worst.
Everything that is said in this podcast again is everything we believe.
I really hesitate to leave it at that. I'm so sorry to cut you off there. I just want to say that that is not the end of the story. The IQ gap still means that 68% of black and white people will have the same IQ. So it's not that you can judge the individual, and there will still be outliers who have very high IQs, If you look at the black middle class with, you know, higher IQ generally, and their doctors and lawyers and engineers, they are not committing crime at a higher rate than their white middle class counterparts. Now, that is the key difference to me. So I don't believe that it's something innate within black people. However, I do feel that we should not be cut off from exploring this idea. And what concerns me is that all debate of this type is shut down. I don't believe I'm a racist person. I have black friends. I know I'm saying all this. I still see myself as somebody who's quite liberal, and I would seek to see the softer explanation. And I'm so sorry for cutting you off, Axel. What were you going to say? You were talking about systemic racism. You're talking about Black Lives Matter. I want to let you continue.
There it is.
Okay. I have a question about your guys' opinions on BLM.
Yeah, I would. I'd love to add some stuff about that. Yeah. So. Okay. The group, the Black Lives Matter, to be honest, I'm not very fond of it, one, because it's I would love to compare it to something KKK, you know, because I would, you know, most of the people in the community are very racist to not only white people, but, you know, to Asians, to the native population. You know, they're all about themselves. And, you know, they want equality, but they don't show it. And, you know, the way they do show it is they go around cities completely destroying everything. And it's just horrible. And I would also like to add that I am related to a Civil War general, and many of those protesters took down statues of him. And, you know, it was quite, it broke my heart, you know. It's... Like, I know, yeah, he was bad, but, you know, that was, it's a part of history, you know, racist or not, it is part of American history. Yeah, yes, generally.
He wasn't even for slavery, though. He was against
it. He wasn't. He just, he regretted being part of the South the entire war, but, you know, that was his decision. But, you know,
we don't need to get into the whole Civil War, was it about slavery or not?
Yeah, but
I
would just like to say that the BLM, they just, they're completely going, instead of equality, they're pushing for them to be racist against us, and even for them to be the majority of the population, which, I mean, you know, you can't really have much control over, but, you know, I met one fellow, he said white people would be a minority in 2035, I think it was. And it was, you know, he was quite hostile, and he believed that fact, and it was scary, you know, to think of something like that.
Did he sort of celebrate that fact?
He very much celebrated the fact. He wanted the death of white people. He wanted a Holocaust of my people, you know, and that's, you know, he's no better than Hitler himself, just the other way around. You know, it things like these, it's inside out from beliefs like, you know, the Nazi party. It's, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just have to say that I have to sort of recuse myself from any comments about the Holocaust, just because the laws in Britain are quite strict about discussion of the Holocaust, and I'm not sure if comparisons are included in that law, but I will go away and check. But it's okay. Not something I'd legally be able to discuss as a British person. So I just needed to say that, although you guys, you know, you're American citizens, so you can continue to discuss that.
Yes. Wings, what's up?
Yeah, go on.
I'm doing a bit of research on some statistics here, and 93% of Black Lives Matter protests are peaceful. What are your opinions on that?
To be quite frank, and mind my French, but that is very much bullshit. Okay. I can guarantee you that is bullshit. All right.
I just don't. Why do you think that's bullshit?
Go to any city that Black Lives Matter. Go to the anti. What is that place called? Oh, there was this. I forget which city it was. I know it was over by Michigan or something. But go to any city that you've seen there. Look up Black Lives Matter protest. And yes, the government will censor it. But you know, you actually do some looking. There is.
They don't actually really censor it, Jack. They stand right in front of it and just say it's for a good cause, even though it's for
exactly. They can say and document it as a peaceful protest, but you know, you could say anything. But it doesn't matter what it actually is. They aren't peaceful, and I stand by that 100%, 93%. That is very much a faulty number, and I do not agree with it whatsoever.
Okay, you guys were talking something about immigration, earlier. Would you guys like to start the conversation on immigration?
Oh yeah, Gizmo, you can start us off with that. Swedish thing. I don't know if you want to wait for the other two or just kind of get started on that.
Oh, sorry, guys. I had to dip out for a moment.
Oh, yes. You were doing your Holocaust.
Well, we're going to be inviting the other two tomorrow. If
no, it wasn't. It wasn't the Holocaust. It was just I had to go to the loo.
Oh, it's all good.
With BLM, 93%. So here's my issue with the 7% that did turn violent. It was, as you say, it was in the big cities. I abhor violence. I don't think that there are very rare situations where I think violence is called for, and I don't think this is one of them. And some of the racial language I was hearing, and bricks and bottles thrown at the police, and black police being called Uncle Toms, and all this sort of thing going on. And my concern was that the leaders of these groups that turned violent refused to condone the violence. They actually, refused to condone
yes, the violence. Yes, they think they're peaceful. They think they're doing good.
It's a fractious organization. You don't get a single answer about what they stand for. So in the early days...
They don't give you the same answer every time. They say they're for blacks only, they say they're for all racial unity,
they say they're for...
They're not...
They say anything, but do, you know, do they actually do it? Of course not.
They're giving themselves more rights than other people.
It's about police brutality, it's about general equality. Now, if it was a movement for equality and fairness and they
point
indicators that showed that they were being...
I would like to add these protests of, you know, what they call fairness. You know, you go to these places, you know, like sometimes restaurants, like over in New Orleans, you know, they'll say this is a black owned establishment, or, you know, even the even rare case, you know, sometimes it'll say black people only. Well, it's a restaurant, you know, where, you know,
well, that's illegal.
You know, not even white people, just anyone is not of illegal? Black.
I thought that'd be illegal in this state.
Is completely, you can, well...
It's completely legal if you own a private business.
Yes.
You're allowed to put anybody out there.
And I would just like to say, you know...
Over here, that would be totally illegal. You can't exclude a race.
Exactly, but these people, they're calling it equal, but then they're doing this. They're getting, you know, white people, they're putting them in chains and they're walking them down the street. You know, that's not equality. That's, you know, that's...
When did that happen? For what reason was that going on?
Oh, 2019, there was a Black Lives Matter protest. And they were, I think, I'm not sure, but I just saw pictures and videos of white individuals in chains walking down a road surrounded by Black Lives Matter protesters.
Yeah.
I have no comment on that. I don't know that there is...
I'm not sure if they were with them or against them, but I know that picture exists.
I don't know what that was all about. I think we can't ignore, all of us, that I have had to think about whether there is a difference in, let's call it, the black experience. Now, black people are telling us that they feel that there is historical discrimination that continues to this day.
There is not.
Yeah.
Only if it's intentional. which doesn't happen quite a bit.
Racism most of the time is intentional, Jack.
Yeah, yes, of course. But
talking about systemic racism, that's...
But like just going down the street and walking and, you know, just, you know, having a normal day, you know, and they see some things that they think might be racist or, you know, quote unquote, trigger them. And it's they're trying not to be racist or, you know, but some people take it the wrong way.
I think we should try and be, so we shouldn't, you know, completely close our ears to what's being said, but we should be empathetic, that we should try and understand if there is some basis to this in amongst a lot that I think, you know, have some concerns about, and I'm concerned about the accuracy of some things that are being said, that in amongst it, that Black people have historically experienced a very high level of racism.
I would like to add that
From slavery onwards, and I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I would like to add that there were more Irish slaves than Black slaves in America. And, you know, they had the exact same treatment, if not worse.
Yeah.
I would have to say the Black community. But there was more Irish slaves than Blacks. And, you know, that's not even remotely talked about in America at all.
And you're right, yeah. That is something that, you know, needs to be highlighted. Also, the Chinese were treated.
And the Chinese, yes. That's the other thing.
The railways. Many of them died. Something like 10% of all Chinese who worked on the railways. It was such a dangerous job, you know, blowing through these tunnels. About 10% of them were killed. And we don't... I think some aspects of... Some chapters or whatever it is of BLM don't maybe recognize this or include this in their debate, and it's something that should be looked at.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What's our next topic?
So we've gone through racism and BLM, which
immigration
started on a pretty controversial. We can do immigration.
All right. Perfect.
I was thinking we should talk about LGBT. So if we talk about racism,
ooh, that's a good one. Yes.
Racism, immigration, and LGBT. We've covered three of the, you know, very strong taboo topics that, you know, can be quite controversial, and I'd be happy to talk about all three.
Let's start with the LGBTQ community.
Okay.
Would you like to start us off, Gizmo, or do you want me to?
Okay, I think we're going to be quite... I don't know what your opinions are, but I think we may be quite contrary.
Before we start on the LGBTQ conversation, not if one of us say our opinion on it, not all of us will agree on that opinion. And
yeah,
I want people to know that, because
real quick, I'd like to do some disclaimers.
A lot of controversial things can go through.
And we're not going to necessarily correlate, but all three of us are just expressing opinions calmly, rationally. So I think that gays throughout history have been treated very badly, and I don't think it is fair on them. I'm a friend of the Rainbow Society. I'm entirely heterosexual myself, although I don't feel, you know, that's really relevant. But I am actually a straight ally of the Rainbow Society. I believe that people should be free to express themselves and live the life they want to live, and live the sex life they want to live, and whether they're trans or whether they're gay or lesbian or bisexual, I feel that as long as the person is a good person and that they're kind and empathetic to people, that they should be treated no differently. And I think they've been given a lot of crap, pardon my language, throughout history that they haven't really deserved, because most of them are nice people. I know a lot of gay people. Most of them are nice people. Now, that's my opinion. I know that, you know, others will have very different opinions. So what do you reckon? Sorry, I don't know if I should say your name. What are we?
Call Lee. Just do Lee.
Lee, yeah. So what do you think, Lee?
Real quick, I'm just going to do some disclaimers because I totally forgot to do these. So real quick, I do not agree with any... war crimes or atrocities, any right wing. No, I just forgot to do these at the beginning, so I need to do them now. I don't agree with any of these.
It's okay.
I'm still on the phone, Billy. And so, sorry, got to get out of the way. Oh, hold on. My phone's doing something weird. But anyways, sorry, forgot to get those out of the way at the beginning. So, anyways, sorry. People at the door. So going to the LGBTQ community, to be honest, you know, this might be surprising coming from someone like me, but I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. You know, I feel, you know, now the whole, like, you know, Pride Month and the whole, like, flag business and whatnot.
I don't think you should have pride in who you sleep with. That's weird.
Yeah, like, you can do whatever you want. Like, whatever you want in the bedroom, it is yours to do. You know, have some fun.
But having a whole month and having a flag waving about it
and doing all this, you know, pride stuff, to be honest, waving it in front of people's faces is only going to make them angry. And, you know, it causes a lot of the hate.
This is what interests me. Why do you feel anger against gay people?
Oh, I don't. I don't mind them whatsoever.
You said if they wave their flag, you feel angry. Now, I'm not trying to get this into a heated debate. I'm just genuinely interested in personally, I don't want to know what a gay person did last night with their boyfriend. And
frequently they tell me, and I listen
just so that they don't feel awkward or something. And I wonder whether I should do that or not. Only because I don't want to give them the impression that, you know, I'm at all interested in their behavior. I don't really like to hear about it or what they're doing. But in terms of if they wave their flag and say, these are our rights, and this flag represents our rights, I don't feel any hostility or anger. And I wonder, do you see it differently to me? Once again,
you know, they have the freedom to wave this flag and do whatever they want. Now, do people like me or just anyone, you know, other than that community really want to see it or be a part of it? You know, maybe they do, but maybe they don't, you know, and a lot of people don't want to be a part of that. Not that they hate it, but they just don't want to know, you know, what side you swing on. And it's just because, you know, you don't see straight people hanging straight flags. I don't even know if there is a straight flag.
There is. And
is there really straight?
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous, but it's funny, but pretty ridiculous.
Google the straight flag now and have a look at
what. Yeah.
Any pride flag of like sexuality makes me really mad for any reason. Straight, gay, bi, any one of them make me mad. I don't know why, it just does.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you said you don't know why, and there's a bit of silence that's gone here. Could you sort of explore that feeling and think about... So I think historically there is a hatred for gays, and I've never felt it before. And I wonder where it comes from. What is it that...
That didn't work for me. I'm back. Oh, there's two of me now. Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, no, you're changing your name. I wonder whether historical, but also you said that you hate it if somebody waves a straight flag.
I hate any pride flag of sexuality.
Yeah, anyone. I don't see them as actual flags.
Do you see it as something that shouldn't be publicly advertised and shouldn't be publicly sort of?
It shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay. You know, obviously you can say like, hey, you know, I'm gay in public, and you know, you don't have to be yelled at or anything. But
yeah,
you know,
you don't
it's
force
just,
your opinion upon somebody else. You say, can. Hey, you need to be gay too.
You can.
That's not.
Just do it, but don't say it too much. You know.
That's what it's about. I don't know if it's about saying to people you have to be gay too. No, I disagree with that. Sorry. I don't think that's what it's about.
But you know, I get they want, you know, their recognition or, you know, maybe more rights or more. How would I say this? Recognition, I guess, you know, just more awareness of the community.
They're frequently attacked for nothing other than their sexuality. If you look at the statistics, I've worked with the crime statistics. The trans people in particular are 7 times more likely to be murdered than anyone in the general population. I think that's sickness. And that is why I'm friends with the Rainbow Society. It's not because I like listening to gay people talk about what they did last night. Frankly, I feel the same as everyone else about that, you know, as a straight person.
And, you know, going back to what I said, like, I don't have anything against them. You know, they could do whatever they want. I have no hate against them. But, you know, I just don't, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, waving it around and whatnot is what gets them in those situations. Now, would I do that to them? Of course not, you know. I wouldn't, you know, just because they're holding a flag of something, you know, I wouldn't kill them for it. But... you know, because it's your opinion to do whatever you want, but you know, it's just for the majority of people, you know, it's, hey, I don't really want to see that.
Okay. Immigration. Let's go to immigration now.
Immigration. Yes. Now this is going to be different between the UK and US, but do you guys want to start? And I do know a lot. I mean, it's something that I'm fascinated by. So I know a fair bit about immigration in the US and the issues there and the pressures and the...
before we get to immigration, I have a quick...
But I'm obviously a foreigner, so I just state that now. So I may not know as much as you guys, and I haven't experienced it firsthand. Except I've visited 7 times the States, and half my family lives in Arizona. And, you know, I've seen... crowds of Mexican day laborers who all sort of rush to you. They think you've got some work for them. So I have some context of this, but I haven't lived it like you guys have. So I'll just state that.
So real quick, Wings wanted to, what you wanted to say something or something.
So we did say your name earlier in the podcast. Is that fine?
Oh, did we?
It's fine.
Okay.
We'll go back and bleep it if we did. We want to stay anonymous because we want to.
I don't know how to bleep out stuff.
It'll be fine.
If I said my name, or if anyone said my name, I would like to bleep it out because I'm expressing myself very openly here, and a lot of the things I say as a liberal would really piss off my liberal friends if I'm being honest. So, I'd rather my name wasn't in here. Just because of potential repercussions. And it shouldn't be that way. Let me say that now. It should not be that way.
I know. You should be able to say what you want and, you know, not get
a whole bunch of hate for it. What is it like? Actually, never mind. Never mind on that question. I was wondering, what is life in California like?
I like it here. Obviously, I don't live in the big city part. My grandmother does, though. And I love it there. You know, it's a great place. Could it be better? Yes. Has it gone downhill drastically in the years? Much so.
Do you see it getting any better anytime soon?
I don't think it's going to get any better at all. I mean, there might in the next...
Is there an election of a new governor soon?
There is, and that's really the make or break moment right there, you know.
Who's the more conservative one?
Oh, it's all good.
I thought we might gone a bit of a segue here into. It's a very relevant thing. Something I think we should discuss is about the situation in California. I've seen that there is.
I feel like every state in the union is going to become that way, and everybody is going to be forced to move down south.
Is that linked to immigration, the situation?
Once they
take the South, people are just going to start leaving the country. So I
would like to point out that there's 2 types of immigration. You know, there's normal immigration. You know, you go through your papers, you go through the, you know, all, what you need to do, and then it's completely fine, welcoming, you know, hey, it's all good. But now illegal immigration, that's something, you know, completely different. And to be honest, that happens a lot more than the legal version.
Yeah.
And I would like to add that the illegal immigrants coming into the country, they get much better treatment than the people coming into the country. And sometimes the people that were even born here. Now, that's not saying all of them, you know, a lot of them get it pretty rough. You know, they're put in cages and whatnot and forced back to their own country, or, you know, span back around on boats and, you know, hauled back off. Now, is that good? No. But, you know, it is kind of what they were risking, you know, trying to do something illegal. And, you know, that is the repercussions for it. But once again, you know, it's not, you know, something very good. It could be better, but...
Can I say something about this? I mean, I know I'm British, right? But I feel that the laws have been widely flouted in the past. And, you know, that's the reason why you have, I think it's 12, 13, 14% of the population of the USA is of Latino origin. Now, as far as I know, the majority of them do not commit crime. However, when you have the law flouted and you have people crossing the border illegally and you have no idea, I personally think that the building of a secure border wall there was nothing wrong with that idea. I think the way that Trump presented it was hateful, in my opinion, because he said, we're going to make Mexico pay for it. It's all their fault. They're rapists. They're murderers. And I know the media is only taking a few minutes of the whole speech, and I watched the whole speech all the way through.
Yes.
Basically, he's talking about, you know, positivity, and he's talking about improving things. And, I mean, Bush, you know, he increased the level of security on the border. So did Clinton. Clinton started building the border wall. I think if Trump had presented it as, look, guys, we've got a problem.
Why is he saying it's racist? I really don't get that. According to Biden, why is he building it?
No, I don't think it's racist. I think
you're enforcing a legal policy.
Well, I disagree with Biden. I think you're enforcing a policy. I think what is racist is the way that Trump characterized it. Now, he just says whatever comes into his head. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
That's Trump. You know, he just says what he feels, and at times he gets a bit hot-headed. And I think
everyone has their moments.
Well, Trump has more of those moments.
Like him at all, if I'm being honest. Just his whole attitude and demeanor, I don't like it. However, his idea of building a border wall, I thought, was completely reasonable.
Yeah, it's good, because, you know, even though, you know, the Mexican population is coming in at a staggering rate, are they bad? No, of course, a lot of them, they are super sweet. At my job, I have, you know, half of them are Mexican, and I, you know, love them to death. They're great.
I met Latino people, you know, they are not generally predisposed to crime or anything like this. However, you do have Mexican cartels who are using the lax border.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we need the border wall, for those reasons. Yes, that's the reason. Not because, you know, we're trying to be racist, but we're trying to keep, you know, the cartel out. We want illegal immigrants, you know, not coming in by the masses.
No, it's to control.
You
need to present at the border and request asylum.
And ever since Trump left, there's been more kids in cages.
Forget they have the right to do them.
The border control has been getting out of hand, so.
Yes.
In what sense? The separation of children. That was awful. I know he was trying to take a more hardline policy because people were fed up with the just open door. You know, anyone can come in, jump across the border, jump back across the border. People were fed up with that, and I think that's why Trump took that hardline policy.
With, you know, just jumping across just like that, there, I've seen many videos, and I've seen it myself. There is easily places where you can just hop right into Mexico. In fact, in one instance, I was there over by San Diego. We were going down there, and I didn't even know I was in Mexico. We just started driving, and, you know, poof, we were there. There was no gate, no nothing. Jeez. It was just, you know, right in there.
Difference between USA and UK. We don't have a border with, dare I say, a third world country, you know, a poor country. And I've spoken to Mexicans. They would admit openly that Mexico is a poor country, and there's problems with, you know, there's corruption, there's gang violence.
Yes.
And the USA is a very, you know, the wealthiest country in the world, probably the biggest economy.
One of the biggest, yeah.
One of the, well, overall, they're the biggest, and GDP per capita is quite high. You know, USA is a rich country, so is Britain. And people are kind of desperate to get there. You know, we have people swimming across the channel to try and get into Britain.
Yes.
However, we don't have a direct land, huge land border with a very populous and very poor country. And I think the construction of a wall, other than the way it was characterized, is a sound policy.
Yeah, and, it's completely reasonable.
Yeah, the border patrols say that it works. It slows people down enough so that they can respond in time. Yeah. It takes them twice as long to get across. They can get there and stop the illegal crossing. Now, do I sympathize with people who have been split with their families? Yes, absolutely I do. I empathize with that. Do I feel for the Guatemalans and the Hondurans, and we're moving over to a different area here, who are in terrible danger in their home countries, and they're just trying to get somewhere safe, and they're desperate to get somewhere safe. And they get there and there's a 50-foot wall. Do I think about that? And do I think about how that looks to them and the pain that they feel? However, they have the option to present and claim asylum at the border.
And this exactly. That's the legal route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shouldn't just jump over the wall and come in. They should present for asylum at the border.
There's a way to do it, and they should just, you know, there's ways to get in legally without any trouble, and it's just better for everyone.
And Biden has opened that door. He says that Guatemalans and Hondurans and Salvadorians.
Exactly. We have programs. We have buildings you could stay at. We have everything you need to, you know, take asylum and, you know, stay while you're doing your paperwork or waiting for your passport. We have ways to do this legally. You know, you don't have to just hop right over, you know.
I don't know if you guys, right, I've personally seen abuse of the asylum system in the UK. We do have a lot of asylum applications. There are a lot of people who want to get to Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Germany, the UK. They want to get to a safe, stable, wealthy society where they're going to have opportunities. And I've seen that in Kenya, there was a family and they were living in relative opulence. The man was quite wealthy and he showed me all his documents, and the asylum application said, you know, we're living in poverty. There is typhus and diphtheria running through the camps. There's no clean water. We're in a dangerous situation. My daughters could be raped. They were living in a beautiful apartment in the center of the city, and he had a successful business. Now, what gets me is that disproportionately, the people that managed to successfully claim asylum are the people with money to hire a lawyer that knows how to play the system. And a lot of the people, and a Somali friend of mine told me this, a lot of the people that manage to get to the UK are not the people in abject poverty who are most desperate. They're sort of the middle class, as it were, that have the money and the capability to, you know, get on a flight and get to the country. There is abuse of the welfare system. There used to be families who would live on the equivalent of, in your money, $60,000, $70,000 a year, with a house with 8 bedrooms. And although this was the minority, you know, there were people who were getting huge sums of money from the state that they never could have hoped to have earned in a typical working class job. And working class people were pissed off. They were angry about this. And I don't disregard their views on this matter. And in fact, the government did react to this, and they brought in measures to cap the amount of welfare that can be received and make the system a bit fairer. Why should it be that somebody, you know, should work their arse off, you know, family, mum and dad going out working their arse off minimum wage, have less money than a family down the street that do, well, frankly, don't work, you know? And there could be reasons why they don't work. You know, mental health issues are very common in Somali community. There's PTSD. They've gone through the war. My friend, he was shot at. His sister was killed while they were fleeing the guerrillas for no other reason other than they were not in the same tribe as the group that invaded his homeland. And they lost everything they had. His father had a business over there. They lost everything they had. They got to the UK. probably mainly because his father had money and resources and the ability to come over and get here. And these are the things I know that go on. And I wish the system could be reformed to be more fair. To one of the things David Cameron, do you know, he was a previous prime minister, he proposed is that rather than having a mass influx of Syrians, that they put huge amounts of money into improving the conditions within the refugee camps, to put in formal education, you know, to build schools, to give them clean water, so that, you know, every Syrian refugee would at least have access to basics. Not to say they're living a good life. I think it's horrible how they have to live. However, the British government was of the view, and I actually agree with this, that rather than bringing over, you know, a huge number of people, which is one way of dealing with the crisis, you can also invest into places like Turkey, which have, you know, 3 million Syrian refugees, invested over $1 billion into actually improving the conditions and giving these people some opportunities and bringing over the most vulnerable. So people with disabilities, people who are in the worst kind of poverty, we were putting them on flights to bring them to Britain, and we picked 20,000 of the most vulnerable. I actually think this was a good action and this was a good policy, rather than, you know, allowing people to effectively walk across Europe and just walk in, and you don't know who's coming in, same as Mexico to the US. We put in a policy where we were going to fund these refugee camps, and we were going to have people on the ground who would assess people they felt were the most vulnerable and fly them to Britain. And this is actually what we did. We paid for those flights. We spent more than if we'd just taken what the EU recommended as the refugee quota. We actually spent more money. But I think that was quite wise. And others would argue with me, and I dislike the Conservative government in many ways, but I think this was quite a sound policy. The way that they handled that, I think they handled that well.
To be honest, that's an amazing way to handle that. And if we were, I mean, obviously, you know, the US and Britain are, you know, two very different places, but I would love to see something very similar like that in the US. It'd be revolutionary, you know, to have something like that. Now, you know, do we have to do, would there be other tactics? You know, yes, you know, obviously we still have the wall that we still need to very much invest in. And that's something we have to do first. But, you know, once that project is done, I think a better solution, you know, because obviously, you know, Britain's way of handling things, it sounds perfect because, you know, obviously it's a little different because you don't share a border. It's quite different. But
yeah, they have to swim across the channel, and it's quite dangerous crossing, and the Royal Navy is out there patrolling. They generally return to France.
Yes.
But now there's many reasons why people are trying to get to Britain and would risk everything to do that. Usually it's family connections, it's linguistic, it's the economy, and they are seeking out good opportunities, if we can put it that way. You know?
But you see, what I would love to see one day is to, instead of investing in, you know, keeping, you know, people out and, you know, building a whole, you know, huge wall. And obviously, you know, we need it, but I would love to see funds going into the country to make it a better place, so the people there want to stay there and live, you know, make it a good place, you know, maybe not make it a third world country, get, you know, do something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Brother, I totally agree with you. And I just called you brother, and I don't know if you're like, you know,
no, it's all good,
yourself as a neo-Nazi or something. But the funny thing is, despite, you know, we describe ourselves as on different political spectrums, 100% agree with what you just said, man. I think that's
because it would fix so many problems on both sides of the spectrum. You know, you got the illegal immigrants and even the legal immigrants leaving the U.S. to go to Mexico. If we were to fix their country, because I'm sure they would be more than happy to see the rest of their family, you know, being in their home country safe and sound. You know, it'd be better just for everyone.
Yeah, man. I so agree with that. I think So again, going to sort of Britain, and a lot of the arguments were about why do we pay more in than we get out. So Britain, France, and Germany, we paid more into the European Union budget than we were getting back in funding for projects at home. Now, I see that as an investment. So that money was going to building sewers in Hungary, roads in Poland, and people said, why? You know, why?
We're going to have to wrap this up.
I think it's an investment. I think they will develop their economy and buy from us in the future. That's it. That's all I was going to say about that.
Yeah. All right. I think we're missing or we're about to finish up here. So we made some excellent points today. You know, it was great. I loved hearing all this.
This was fun. Yeah.
This is good. I'm glad we could talk about our differences and make advancements.
Bring on two guests. Are you guys free tomorrow for this?
Yes, I am actually. Yes.
I am. I'll be done around 3 o'clock my time. I do have some sports I need to attend to, but afterwards I will be free.
You say 2 o'clock your time. Is that EST?
3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
Okay. Well, we're going to have two other guests on here tomorrow, right, Gizmo?
Ooh, that's quite late.
Yeah, that's a little late for you guys, I think.
That's 11 p.m. in Britain. Is there any chance you could do it in your morning time? Is that too much to ask? I don't know.
I could do it around 5. We'd have to end about 6 o'clock in the 6 in the morning.
6 a.m.
Yeah.
For me, if you're willing to do that, it's just that I have work the next day, so I'll probably be very sleepy if we're.
We can probably do it next weekend. What about that?
Do you know the only thing with that, Axel? I think
are you guys free on Sundays? What about that? We can post a new episode every Sunday.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, okay. We can. I feel like I kind of want to get this moving, but if that means you getting up at 6 in the morning, then you know you don't have to do that, Lee. So
when we're free for different times, we can get in contact with each other. We can do it. But yeah.
And obviously, we might not all be to here and do podcasts.
Yeah. We'll set the weekend as a target. And I just want to say, guys, I've really enjoyed this, and this is exactly what I want.
This is exactly what we need. Yeah. I love this. This is great.
Okay, yeah. See you guys on Sunday for right now. And we're gonna have two extra guests on here. So I'll talk to you guys on Discord.
This is the Swedish fellas. Swedish fellas.
Yes.
Thank you guys for watching season 1, episode 2 of Don't Trust Our Opinion podcast.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
Peace out, guys.